Stand up, Giant fans. It's another live edition of Trina and Tana here on the Locked on Giants podcast. Chris, the entertainer Guzzo, joins me coming up next.
You are Locked on Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day.
Stand up.
You're getting a little better at it. You're getting a little
better.
Yes. You're starting to get a little better, but let's amp up the crowd a little bit. Hopefully you guys are enjoying your Friday, getting ready for your weekend. Monday night football this week. Whiteout at the stadium. Stadium was rocking last week. I expect it to even be louder this week. You know why? Because the New York Giants are 2-0 for the first time since 2016. We're looking to get to 3-0. Stand up, New York
love
Giants.
Love it. Welcome, everybody, to the Locked on Giants podcast. Patricia Traynor here with you. I've got the entertainer, Chris Guzzo. And, gosh, Monday can't get here fast enough.
Oh, tell me about it. Last week felt like it was like 3 weeks.
Yes.
This week felt like 3 months because we've had the added day. You're coming off another win. You're 2-0. And you're playing the Dallas Cowboys on Monday Night Football. So
can it be any better?
This game since Tuesday, it's taken forever. Get here soon, please.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't that the only game on the schedule, the local schedule, the Monday Night game?
Yes.
I think the Yankees and Mets aren't playing, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. I know the Mets aren't. The Mets are not. They're playing Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So. And then they got a bye. So, yes, right. they got an off day. So, all the more reason.
A lot of eyes going to be on that game and what a big game it's going to be. And Chris and I are going to break it all down for you. But first, we've got to talk about a couple of leftover things from last week, because I think it's going to be relevant to this week. And, you know, we were starting to talk about it offline here. But, Chris, you know, Saquon Barkley, last week the Panthers found a way to kind of stifle him a little bit in the beginning, and then the Giants adjusted, which, by the way, this coaching staff with adjustments, you know, they've done a fantastic job with adjusting. So much for the old coaching staffs that used to say, oh, adjustments are just figments of your imagination. What did you see differently with what the Giants did in the second half? Because this is going to be relevant. Dallas is going to probably take a page out of that playbook and trying to stop Saquon and daring Daniel Jones to beat him.
Yeah, well, they're going to do the same exact thing. They'd be stupid not to. I mean, Carolina was very effective in limiting Jones in the first half. Dallas so far this year hasn't been ultra aggressive on defense when you look at their numbers. I just did my preview video. That's why I know I looked into it. I think they blitzed so far this year. They blitzed 18% of the time. Last year it was 28%. But when you factor in the opponents they've gone up against, Tom Brady's not really a guy you're going to want to blitz. So I expect the Dallas Cowboys to be very aggressive in this game. I expect Dan Quinn to send a lot of blitzes. And, yeah, they're going to try to do exactly what Carolina did. They're going to try to force Daniel Jones, especially if Tony doesn't play, you know, without his some of his better weapons in the passing game, to beat him through the air. And the reason why I think Saquon got it going, one, I mean, first off, Saquon was incredible in that second half. People don't realize because they just look at the final box score because he did nothing in the first half. He had almost 70 yards rushing in the second half. So, yeah. And he didn't have a run in that game over 16 yards. So he had just a bunch of 8 to 10-yard runs. He was just getting big carry after big carry there to help the offense. But I think what happened in the second half, I don't think Carolina stopped trying to stop Saquon, but I think Jones started to get it going a bit in the passing game, and that made them honor the throw a little bit more, and that gave Barkley at least an opportunity to start to get it going on the ground game. So, yeah, if Dallas comes out with that same approach, the Giants have to come out with a much better offensive game plan from the start in this game. They definitely have to stay committed to the run in this game, but they have to be able to throw the ball more effectively early on in this game if they plan to get Saquon Barkley off and running in this football game. They got to be more balanced offense early on this week. And as good as the adjustments have been, and they've been great on both sides of the ball, the offensive game plan the first half of the first 2 weeks has not been good. You know, Kafka's play calling on the goal line, that was really bad. The design run to Daniel Jones. So, you know, I'm going to be as fair as I can. I'm going to be nitpicky when I feel like there needs to be some, criticism. I don't think the offensive play calling has been particularly well in the first half of either one of these games. The second half, though, they've made great adjustments. What I'm hoping for in this game, and it's going to be a low-scoring game. You know, like for anybody listening that's going to get bent out of shape, if the Giants only score 17 points, expect it going in. This is going to be a game that's going to be in the high teens, low 20s. It's going to be a defensive battle. You got to give respect to this Dallas defense. They've only given up 360 yards through the air through 2 weeks against Tom Brady and Joe Burrow. Okay, that's with Ja'Marr Chase playing. We don't even have Kadarius Toney playing. So don't expect Daniel Jones to go out there and light them on fire. It's just not going to happen. The one thing I will say, the Bucs were able to get a ground game going against them. They ran for 160 yards week one. So the Giants got to do a better job at coming out with a better offensive game plan from the start. But you got to worry about Parsons, obviously. That's where it starts right there. But I will say, due to the fact that I think Dallas will be more aggressive in this game than they have been the first 2 weeks, as they should be. They're not going up against Brady. I think there's going to be some opportunities, if we could hold up, to hit some big shots. Because we know that Diggs is an ultra-aggressive corner. As good of as he is as a playmaker, he's a guy that's not allergic to getting beat over the top.
Yeah, and you know that Dallas Dan Quinn, he's going to be sending blitzes and stunts and all kinds of funky stuff at the interior offensive line. In particular, because that's been a struggle for them. They're still trying to get that down. So I expect a lot of trickery, a lot of fancy stuff, you know. And the other thing, you know, just going back to the question about Saquon, the Giants in the second half held the ball. They won the time of possession. We were talking about that before we started taping here. They won it. It was like 35, almost 36 minutes. The defense probably got tired. Now, that was a hot day, remember. They got tired in that heat.
Good point.
So that was a key element. But no, you're absolutely right. I think if Dallas over blitzes, maybe now, you know, you're going to see a few more runs, because the Dallas run defense, correct me if I'm wrong, they haven't been very stout against the run so far.
Yeah, like I said, they gave up 160 yards week one to the Bucs. I don't think the Bengals did a very good job on the ground against them. They might have had like 80 yards. But I do think that there's going to be opportunities for Barkley to hit a couple of big runs, especially if they're overly aggressive and he gets to that second level. I could see Barkley breaking a couple of runs. But we've got to help out Evan Neal in this game. No doubt about that. Got to help out Evan Neal in this game.
Yes. Micah Parsons has missed 2 days of practice with illness. It's listed as illness. We don't know what it is. I saw somebody on my Twitter timeline said, "Oh, he's not gonna miss the game because of allergies." I don't think it's allergies, folks. I don't know what it is, but allergies wouldn't keep a guy from practicing. That said, Parsons is going to play in this game. I would be stunned if he doesn't play. Now, someone had asked, I think it was Papa Guzzo asked about Kadarius Toney and what the story is. For those who missed it, Toney practiced limited on Thursday. Today was a walkthrough, so the practice projections were just that. They were projections, and Toney would not have practiced, so he was downgraded on Friday, today. So not a very good sign. You know, that hamstring's still an issue. Now, yesterday, for what it's worth, you know, we were in the locker room, and I happened to walk, you know, I was walking around, making my rounds, whatnot, saw Kadarius Toney. Thought he was walking a little bit, you know, with a limp. And I said, okay, maybe he's just sore from running around. Apparently my observation, unfortunately, was accurate, because he would not have practiced today, but tomorrow is a big day for him. Yeah. If he doesn't practice tomorrow, I think it's safe to say he's not playing. And it would be a dang shame, because that's the one guy, I think, you know, and I've spoken to a couple of guys who covered Dallas, you know, we dissected the games, and they said, that's the one guy that really scares them.
It should be. You saw what he did last year to them when they had Diggs on him. I think he had like 180 yards receiving in that game. So if I was a Cowboys fan, that'd definitely be the biggest weapon. I mean, I still think I'd be most scared of Barkley personally, but yeah, you got to respect Toney, especially if you're a Cowboys fan, and the way that you saw him carve your defense up last week. But if Toney doesn't play, I mean, now you're asking Richie James again to step up. He's going to fill that vacancy, and Sterling Shepard, and maybe this is the week where Galladay does get a more expanded role. Maybe Slayton gets involved. Who knows? But I don't know. The wide receiving core is too hard to predict in terms of what
it really is. And, you know, speaking of which, Papa Guzzo wants to know, can Galladay be a slot receiver? I don't think that's his best fit. No. But it would not surprise me if he took some snaps there, because, you know, going back to, what was it, Wednesday, when they didn't have to do an injury report. Remember, Wednesday, Who didn't practice? Shep didn't practice, and there was and I think it was Tony. I don't think Tony practiced either, if I'm not mistaken. So they were down a couple of receivers. When they're down receivers, they generally move guys into other spots that they don't normally play. So maybe they did take a look at him. I don't know. We get kicked out of practice after, you know, 20, 30 minutes or so. So we don't get to see the team part of things. But, you know, certainly, you know, could Galladay be a slot receiver? I'm sure they took a look at him in that regard. But is that his best position? I don't think it is.
No, no. He's definitely a guy on the outside. He's definitely a guy that I think they'll try if he gets snaps this week. He's a guy they'll try to feature in the red zone. But no, that's not his strong. We have plenty of slot receivers. I mean, Sterling Shepard, you know, even without Tony, we could work the slot. If Galladay's going to play, it's going to be on the outside.
Right. Absolutely. All right. Evan says, I want to see Kayvon and Azeez out there. I think you're going to get your wish, Evan.
I would be shocked
if both of those guys aren't out there. You know, I spoke with Azeez yesterday in the locker room, and that kid didn't stop smiling. And trust me, he wasn't smiling because he was talking to me. He was legitimately happy. Hey, some guys have been smiling because they talked to me because they like
me. That's good.
But in this case, Azeez, you know, the more I was talking with him and we were talking about, you know, football and stuff like that, he couldn't come right out and say it. Eventually, I think he did, but he's playing. I think he's going to play. I think Kayvon's going to play. Can you imagine how sick that defense is going to be? Now, I'm not so sure Leonard Williams plays.
I don't think he's going to play.
I don't think he's going to play either. I know Leonard wants to play. You know, if you go back to last year, Leonard, with that triceps injury that he had, wanted to play even when the season was down the toilet. And he did go out and play because he wanted to be there. But this one, you know, it's a sprained MCL, I believe. And you saw how long it took for Kayvon to come back from a sprained MCL. Now, every injury is different. Everybody heals differently. But, you know, he might be a week or so, especially with a quick turnaround. The Chicago game coming up, 6 days later. So,
yeah, I'd be surprised. I'd be surprised if he plays. I would guess, just me guessing, especially if Azeez and Kayvon are going to play. I think you'll see Ward actually play on the line. He's big enough. He's 290 pounds. He's played well for the Giants, so I think he'll probably play on the line and get some snaps there to fill in the void for or at least someone. They'll probably mix it up, but I think he'll be
Justin Ellis, a little bit of Justin Ellis on there. Davidson will play.
Davidson actually played pretty well last week. He had a couple of good pressures on the middle.
Right. So, I mean, you know, they've got ways to fill it in. All right. Jay wants to know about Robinson. I'm not sure which Robinson you're talking about, Wandale or Aaron, but I can answer. I'll answer for both. I spoke to both guys this week in the locker room. Week four seems to be the more realistic time for those guys to come back. Wandale Robinson has a minor knee injury. They need him for the long haul. So they're kind of going cautious with him. But he seemed very confident that he would be back for the Bears game. Aaron Robinson, got a chance to talk to him. He basically, you know, the surgery he had, he didn't get stitches. He had what's called that skin glue. I don't know if you're familiar with it. If anybody's ever had surgery, nowadays they use skin glue that has collagen in it instead of stitches. Because it's supposed to be, it's supposed to help you heal quicker. I had it done, so I know all about skin glue. So Robinson, you know, a little bit of soreness in the core area. Plus, you don't want to, you know, you got to let that skin glue or that cement or whatever you want to call it really take effect, because God forbid you turn the wrong way and you rip open the hole where they went in with the scope. So Robinson, I think we're looking at another week, you know, the Bears game, and same thing for Wandale Robinson. So, I covered both for you, Jay.
Hopefully we see Wandale out there next week. I'm not going to get my hopes up, but I hope we see him out there next week. He's definitely not playing this week. And we'll see about Aaron Robinson. Who do you think is going to start on the outside? Do you think it'll be Flott again?
I think so. Yeah. I think, you know, Flott, Wink Martindale said that Flott actually started cramping up during the game.
Yeah.
So they stuck Fabian Moreau in there. To take some of the onus off. Now, Flott didn't play a perfect game, but he wasn't horrible.
He held his own out there.
So, yeah. You know, I think they were pleased with him. But we had wondered if maybe he got yanked because some, you know, he started to drop off a little bit, and it was because of cramping apparently. And so very encouraging. Flott played well. I thought Dane Belton in his first NFL action played well.
Julian Love,
of course, played well. I mean, I love that three safety set.
Yeah. And you're going to see against more, that you're gonna see more of it this week. I promise you. You're gonna
oh
see
yeah.
More.
Against Pollard and Zeke.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're going to see a lot more of that this week. A lot of blitz with the DBs for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, defensively, I think they're going to be fine. You know, Wink's got something cooking in the lab. He was just kind of walking around with that twinkle in his eye.
Yeah.
And some of the players, you know, in talking to some of the defensive players, they had that swagger, that grin, like, oh, wait till you see what we're going to do to the Cowboys. So, listen, the Giants have been winning on the heels of the defense. The defense has been carrying them because, look, Daniel Jones, I'm not launching an attack on Daniel Jones here because I know some people are going to say, what are you doing? You're picking on Daniel Jones.
Again. Oh, no, you all have plenty of people that are going to love what you're about to say.
Of course, but you're not going to win a lot of games when you pass for under 200 yards.
Yeah.
The passing offense has to pick up. Now, I get it. Some of it has been the offensive line. You know, but Daniel has to do a little better job. You know, you saw that video by Dan Orlovsky. Daniel's got to do a better job manipulating in the pocket. The receivers, they're doing a little bit better job getting open. And I get it. He's not throwing to Galladay all the time or Tony all the time. But look, if these guys are on the field, you'd like to think that they can get the job done. So I don't want to hear that, oh, well, look at who he's throwing to.
Yeah, yeah. No, I understand. He missed on reads. There's no denying it. Especially when you watch back the old 22s, there was at least three really bad misses in terms of his reads last week. He missed Tony wide open in the flat. He missed Shepard in the red zone. There was another bad miss in terms of.
I think it was Sills that he missed.
Might have been Sills. Might have
been Sills.
He also made good plays though. You know,
yes,
I tried
he did.
As fair as I can when I judge Daniel Jones and every player in this team. He made a really nice throw to David Sills. When you went go back and watch the film and got an opportunity to watch people break it down, that was probably his best throw. And then he made two really nice throws to Richie James on that on that touchdown drive. So he did some good again. I'm giving
a mixed bag.
Yeah. C plus. I gave him a C plus week one. Yeah. I'm giving him a C plus week two.
Yeah, you could say it was a mixed bag.
Mixed bag. Yeah, he did enough when the game was on the line. He definitely came up with some big plays, some big third down conversions. But he's got a lot of work to do. He's got to clean some things up, and we're not going to beat good teams, like really good teams or even good teams, if he's missing those reads. He's got to connect on those reads.
He's developing some happy feet there when that pocket starts to collapse, and that's not a good thing. You know, you got to move around. You got to slide around in that pocket and find a place where you could step up and throw. And you know, I thought that was a really good breakdown by Orlovsky for what it's worth. So
I think so, too.
All right. So Joshua wants to know, does Dexter Lawrence have more energy this year? Because it sure seems like that. You know what? Dexter is playing lights out.
He made the play of the game.
When he chased down Baker Mayfield, I mean, come on. Raise your hand if you've ever expected a guy. Remember, Dexter ran a 5.05 40 in the combine. He's not exactly a speed burner.
But for his size, that's pretty fast.
That's pretty fast for his size. Exactly. So Dexter, I think, you know, this defense and, you know, we asked him if his role has changed, and it really hasn't, but it kind of has in that there's more on his plate. I think he has a little bit more autonomy to do certain things that maybe he didn't have in the past, and everything kind of plays off of one another. So Dexter has... Yes, definitely he's played well. And here's the other thing. I think playing alongside of Leo Williams has been a big thing. I mean, they're like the dynamic duo out there.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he won't have his partner this week. But
I know.
More than likely, at least. But he's been great. And you know what? I want to circle back to that play. First off, like you said, incredible play by a man of his size to be able to chase Baker Mayfield out of bounds, to take that angle and make him come up a yard short. And then the next play – they were going for it, right? It was fourth and one. And I think the crowd might have drawn that false start because the crowd was loud as hell. Credit to Wink, man, for calling out the crowd. I think they definitely made an impact. Matt Rhule said it after the game, and that was a crucial penalty in that game because fourth and one, they may pick that up. They may extend that drive. They may, you know, they may score a touchdown or a field goal on that drive. It may change the complete complexion of the game. So give the crowd some kudos too on that play, right?
Absolutely. After, right, the 12th man
forced the 4th-and-1.
Absolutely. The crowd was, you know, listen, I think I told you this last week. We sit in the press box, and the press box is basically soundproof. We heard the crowd.
Yeah.
We could hear it. We could feel the vibration coming through the press box, and we could hear it. It was a muffled roar, but we could hear it. That's how loud the crowd. It reminded me almost at times like a playoff crowd.
Yeah, it was that loud.
It was that loud. And this Monday, if the Giants, you know, give them something to cheer about, it's going to just, you're going to hear it 10 times.
It is going to, I'm telling you right now, this will be a playoff crowd on Monday night.
Oh, I don't doubt it. It's just going to be amazing. I can't wait. I am so stoked for this one.
Yeah.
And you know how I feel about late games and Monday night games, but I am stoked for this one.
Yeah, it's going to be loud. I mean, you got the whole whiteout thing. We're 2-0 with the Dallas Cowboys. It's Monday night football.
And if they win, the local area, you can see all the parties going on.
I'm going to the Bears game. If they win this game, I'm going to a Bears game at 3-0. Like, I can't even imagine what the tailgating is going to be like before the game.
Oh, yeah. If they go 3-0, that'll be the first time since, I think, 2009. When they went 5-0 to start that season.
I posted on Twitter today, at least historically speaking.
Yeah.
Don't read too much into it because, you know, there's bad teams that start 3-0.
But sure.
Historically speaking, 76% of the time you make the playoffs when you start 3-0. So it'd be nice. It'd be nice to get
it would
this
be win. Nice, definitely. All right, Renato, any news on the recovery of Rodarius Williams? You know what, Renato? It's interesting. Rodarius Williams has been in his locker every time we've been allowed into to the locker room, but I've never seen anybody go up to him to see how he's doing. I know I haven't made my way over to him, so I don't know where he's at, but, you know, I wonder, you know, last I heard he was on track, and there was optimism that he would be ready. And I was told like mid-season, whenever, you know, you want to consider mid-season, but if other guys are playing well, to where they might not need him, maybe they don't rush him back. I mean, I don't know, but you know, Flott played well. They picked up Moreau. So
Aaron Robinson will be back.
So, you know, maybe they just say, okay, you know what, take your time because you're coming back from that ACL. You know, just take your time. Don't rush.
I don't see any reason to rush him back.
I don't see any reason either.
Yeah, I think they're going to want their young guys to develop. So yeah. I know he's young, but he was 25 when we drafted him, and they probably don't view him as like a piece of the future in terms of being a starter. So I don't think they'll rush him back. I think they're going to develop Plott and Robinson.
Right. All right. I got to do this next one. Timothy.
My man. What's up, Tim?
Timothy. All right, Timothy. No, they're not going to put pressure on him. Come on, dude. I know I know what Timothy's all about, but I had to do that. I had to put this question up. He asked, will Azeez Ojulari and Kayvon Thibodeau put a lot of pressure on Cooper Rush on Monday night? I think that's the plan, don't you?
They better, otherwise we're going to be in big trouble.
Yeah, exactly. Otherwise it's going to be a long, long night.
You know, we're going to be blitzing a lot, and you know, you got now Flott on Michael Gallup, who's going to be playing, and you know they got weapons on the outside, so we better get to the quarterback quickly. And I think we will. I think we're going to come out with a good game plan. I think we're going to make some plays on defense this week. I really do.
Right. All right, Deron Osmond. If you had to lose a game, would you rather lose it to Dallas or Chicago?
Chicago.
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 Yeah.
Dallas. It's in the division.
Yeah, you can't lose a division game, man.
Yeah, we're
and
home.
To Dallas, come on. Then we got to listen to Tank Lawrence with little Eli garbage. Come on. I'm sorry, Chris. Remind me how many rings does Eli have again? And versus Tank, remind me again.
2-0.
Yeah. Okay. Enough said.
What is it? What is Tank Lawrence? He's been nothing for the last since he signed that contract with Dallas. He's done nothing.
You know what this situation reminds me of? My brother.
I called him Little Lawrence on Twitter, but I thought about calling him Tiny Tank.
It reminds me almost of, you know, my brother likes to rankle me about the Giants because, you know, he went from being a Jets fan to a Chiefs fan, and he likes to rankle me a little bit. And I say to him, I'm sorry, how many rings, how many championships have the Giants won compared to you know, your team? And you know, it's that back and forth squabble. It's, at this point, I think they're just doing it just to bust on each other. I really believe that. I mean, come on, man. Come on. Let's see. So look, just scrolling down for questions, but you know, Chris, what concerns you most about this game, whether it be a matchup? I mean, and obviously Parsons versus Evan Neal, you're going to have to get him health, but is there another matchup or something that concerns you about this game?
Yeah, definitely. That's the biggest concern, Parsons versus Neal. But on the other side, if I'm a Dallas fan, I'm close to equally as worried about my tackles going up against the healthy Aziz Ojulari and Kayvon Thibodeau. So I think that's a mismatch too when you're asking a rookie left tackle. I mean, it's a rookie edge rusher, but I think that's a spot we could take advantage of as well. But in terms of another matchup that I worry about in this game, I mean, you still have to worry about Flott for sure on Gallup on the defensive side of the ball. That's definitely worrisome for me. I know Gallup's coming off the injury, but that's a worry. And Pollard, but you know, in terms of in the passing game. But I do think, after seeing last week, I think we'll do a very similar thing. We'll have more DBs out there. So I'm not too concerned with Pollard, even though I know he's a big play threat in both the pass and run game. But I would say Gallup outside of Parsons is probably my biggest concern in this game, just because of Cordell Flott. He's an inexperienced corner on the outside.
Yeah, I would agree on that. But, I think they'll probably, in obvious passing situations, I think maybe they might give him some help. I don't think you have to worry about Adoree Jackson getting help. I think maybe they might slide some help over to Flott's way if need be. So, all right, folks, got to run a couple commercials. Actually, one now, one a little later. So we're going to be right back after I run this one. All right, Giant fans, true confession time. I'm not a fan of keeping up with the Kardashians at all, but recently a very old YouTube clip of Kimmy K losing one of her $75,000 diamond earrings after being tossed into the ocean kind of resonated with me. No, not because I own a pair of $75,000 diamond earrings, but I do have a simple pair of gemstone earrings that I inherited from my mom that if anything were to happen to them, I think I just might flip out the way Kimmy K did. But here's the thing. The good folks over at Bright Code make it easy and affordable to cover any jewelry loss that one might experience. All it takes is a couple of minutes to sign up, which you can do from your smartphone. And for about $5 a month, you get comprehensive coverage on your irreplaceable jewelry. So don't wait. Hit them up today at bright.co/lockon to learn more or to secure your comprehensive coverage policy. All right, Giant fans. Welcome back to the Locked On Giants podcast. Patricia Traina and the Entertainer.
Well done. You did a good job with that read. That was a tough read. You did a good job.
That was a tough read. But you know what? That was a fun read. That's a fun sponsor. You know, because they said be creative, you know, come up with something really creative. So I actually wrote that copy myself. So
good job. Well done.
Thank you. Well, back, I guess my old experience as an advertising copywriter came into handy. So all right, let's get back to the questions. And of course, we're getting you ready for Monday Night Football. But first, Chris, how much of an effect, if any, do you think knowing that these giant legends that are going to be honored at halftime, how much do you think that's going to maybe play into the equation to get people juiced up, and especially the players? Because you know Dable's going to somehow find a way to work that into the mix.
I hope so. I'll say the last time I went to the Strahan game and they won that game, their defense played incredible that day when I think they turned Hurts over three or four times in that game. So hopefully the same thing happens here. Hopefully they're amped up to see Leonard Marshall and 9,000 other Giants going to the Ring of Honor on Monday. It's like eight guys or something, right?
I think it's seven.
Seven. It's a large class. So it should be great to see that at halftime. If you're going to the game, definitely enjoy that. But hey, hopefully the defense and the offense get something from it. And maybe Dable does play into it a bit. But yeah, I'll say the last time when I went to the Strahan game, seemed like it had an impact on the defense because that was probably our best defensive game all year last year.
Yeah. And by the way, folks, if you haven't done so yet, check out my interview with Leonard Marshall. You will not want to miss it. This was, you know, I don't normally pat myself on the back, but I think this was one of my best interviews that I've done in a while. And just the emotion, the raw emotion that Leonard displayed over, you know, the, when I asked him about what his reaction might be Monday night, you got to see it. If you haven't seen it, please do yourself a favor. Check it out.
I'm going to check it out.
You got to check it out. I mean, it was just, wow. That's all I'm going to say. I don't want to spoil it.
But I know. I knew it meant a lot to him.
It sure does.
Yeah, I've seen him talk about it a lot on social media. Yes. So I'm glad he's getting, he deserves it. I'm glad he's getting it.
He definitely does. And for those of you who, you know, you can find the interview on the YouTube channel. I recommend watching it if you can, because, you know, the visual, I think, will really strike a chord with you. But if you need to listen to it, it is available on all our audio channels, Apple, Google Play, Stitcher, all those audio channels, wherever you get your podcast. So definitely check it out, folks. You will not be sorry. All right, let's get back to some of these questions here. Renato Parente, who else do you see on the pup who can return this year and who would be put back on the practice squad waived? All right, Renato, there's really just two guys. There's Nick Gates and Matt Parrott.
Yeah.
So I think it's a little too soon to say who might go back to the who might be waived or who might, you know, end up on the practice squad. You got to kind of see where the injury situation is. There's no need to rush Parrott and Gates.
I don't think either one of them is going to play this year.
I'd be surprised.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, there's no need to rush them. You know, I've spoken to Gates.
Ellison Gates, Smith also. JC Silva just did it.
Yeah. Ellison's on IR.
IR, yeah.
Yeah. So he was asking about Pop. Oh, the Pop, yeah. So, you know, these guys, hate to say it, this is the Giants. There's going to be injuries. There always are injuries. So you kind of see at that point, and then maybe that's where you kind of do the swap, if you will. So a little too soon to say, Renato. So stay tuned on that. JC Silver wants to know, is Schultz out? JC, the final injury report will be out tomorrow because it's a Monday night game. Everything got moved up. So the first injury report was Thursday. Today was the second. Tomorrow is going to be the final one. It looks like Schultz isn't going to play. Spoiler alert, for my Monday show, I interviewed Jeff Kavanaugh, who covers the Cowboys for Believe, and he didn't sound too optimistic that Schultz was going to be in the lineup. So,
What I've heard too. What I've heard, and that I'm going to guess that Schultz will not be playing on Monday. Which
I would be surprised if Schultz is going to play. You know, Parsons, I think, will play. I know a lot of people are
Parsons
like, oh,
is playing.
Parsons is playing. I'd be stunned, absolutely stunned.
LT's showing up to the game to see Parsons play. Parsons is going to play. And it's a big game for him. Monday Night Football, showcase himself, Giants, Cowboys. If he can play, he's going to play. But I don't think Schultz is going to play. I don't. And that's big news for the Giants. We all know that we've struggled guarding tight ends in the past, and he's a good one in terms of being a pass catcher. So, that's something going in our favor, but I'm leaning that Tony's probably not going to play for us either. And if he does, he's going to be limited. So, you know, that we got a missing weapon too. So kind of evens out.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, a couple people who, you know, going back to the Leonard Marshall interview, said it was great. Very touching. Definitely check it out, folks. I can't stress it enough. It's, you will not be sorry. All right. Let me see. I'm just going through the rest of these. As we're waiting, speaking of tight ends, I had a question that was actually posed to me by a reader over at Giants Country. And I wanted to throw this out at you and see what you thought. Have the Giants misused their tight ends so far? I mean, I don't think they have, but I guess there's been this question about, you know, they haven't really done anything in the offense, even though they've caught, I think, two of the three touchdown passes.
Yeah, they've
caught two touchdowns. What do you think of the usage of the tight ends so far in this offense?
I'm completely fine with it. I expected this to kind of be the usage, especially early on in the year when I knew the line was going to go through their struggles. You need more tight ends in there to block. So I think that's their primary role until such time that they could really feel confidence in this offensive line to hold up without assistance, as you know, as much as they've been, you know, doing it with the two tight ends in there. So yeah, it's the exact role I expected. Limited pass catching, more so in there to block. The one thing that's really impressed me with, and it just so happens that they threw the ball to the tight end on both of these plays, but when's the last time I don't think we ever saw it under Garrett, where we had two touchdowns that were that easy. You know, you think about the touchdown this past week to the rookie, and then you think about the tight end week one. It was Myrick, Bellinger. I mean, there wasn't a defender around him for yards. We didn't see that under Jason Garrett. So
yeah,
that's another encouraging thing. And you know, looking at it from a positive standpoint, from everybody that's ragging on Daniel Jones for missing a lot of these reads, that's fair, especially when you watch back the film and how people broke it down. But at least they're open.
Right.
Like under Garrett, they weren't open. So it's good news that there are missed reads for Daniel Jones.
Yes.
And missed opportunities for Daniel Jones, because last year there weren't opportunities. So I think it speaks to the fact that the offensive play calling and the scheme, that's a positive. That as Jones gets more adjusted, as hopefully he gets more confident in his blocking and he scans the field hopefully better than he has, there'll be big play opportunities. But even if Jones is not the answer after this year, at least you're seeing that the scheme is working. They're getting guys open.
And not just that, you know, I was talking with somebody earlier today and we were talking about, we don't think that the Giants have the receiver group that they really want. You know, that there's some pieces obviously that are going to be swapped out at the end of the year. I think we can all agree on that. Yeah. And the fact that they're able to get these guys open, you know, the different route concepts and the, you know, the mix and match. I mean, wow. It's like night and day. It's like you sit there and you watch this Giants offense and you go, wow.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. They're definitely getting more open looks. It's just Jones has to capitalize and the offensive line needs to hold some blocks too. I think it's a collective effort. I think it's both Jones and the line. You know, we harp on some of the misreads because there's not a ton of opportunities from within the game for Jones to make big plays. Every quarterback in the league is going to misread. It's going to happen. It just so happens that Jones doesn't get nearly as many opportunities as say a guy like Jalen Hurts, who has a really good offensive line, or say a guy, you know. So when he gets the opportunities, he needs to cash in, and hopefully Jones improves upon that this week.
Where do you see the biggest weakness right now on that offensive line? I would say, obviously, it's in the interior, but, you know, you think in the left side, you think in the right side, up the middle. I mean, where's the biggest problem?
This week, I think it's the right tackle, but it's because of Parsons. But in terms of, like, overall, I think it's the left guard. Azudu
got rotation.
Yeah, Azudu, and I'll say this, Feliciano was really bad last week too.
Well, he also got dinged.
Yeah. Oh, did he?
Again. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
He Shin, struggled, I thought. The left guard struggled. Azudu looked really bad. Bredesen was okay. I thought Bredesen was actually better than he was week one, but still not very good.
Yeah.
So I would definitely go with the left guard. Kalinske's not very good either, if I'm being honest, in terms of pass protection. So the entire interior is just not good right now.
And that was supposed to be the strength, if you think about it. Well, because of the veterans and, you know, Feliciano knowing the system.
Well, as opposed to the right tackle, but you knew Thomas was going to be good.
Yeah, so, yes, definitely. And that's what worries me against Dallas, is because I would be willing to bet that Quinn does a few blitzes and stunts and fancy stuff.
He's definitely going to try to take advantage of it, for sure.
Of course. Yeah, sure, as we're both sitting here, there's no question about it.
Yeah.
All right. Timothy says, do you think they are using Tony in the right way?
They
got to get him on the field.
Not you.
I mean, let's get him on the field, and then we can talk about whether they're using him the right way. I mean.
Yeah, I can't really get mad at the Giants in terms of their usage of Tony when the guy can't stay on the field.
Yeah.
Like, let's be fair. I mean, the guy – you know, like people say he had limited snaps, but I think it's obvious why he had limited snaps week one. It's because the guy's been dinged up. He had a banged up hamstring throughout training camp. Now it appears there's a decent shot he won't even play this week, being that he got downgraded today in practice. So he's got to be the best abilities available. He's got to be on the field. So they're not really misusing him. There hasn't been much of an opportunity. I will say he was wide open on a throw last week and Jones missed him.
Yes. So
hopefully, if he's on the field, Tony's going to be a good player for the Giants. I think he fits the team very well, but he's got to get on the field. He's got to stay healthy.
Yeah, and that's a problem. You know, hamstrings are tricky.
Yeah.
So who knows how long that thing's going to linger with him. All right, Mackenzie Bruno, is Wandale playing? Probably not, I think, week four for Wandale. I did speak with him this week.
Yeah.
He's feeling better. You know, he's been able to move around. I don't really see much of a limp, but you got to remember, they also have they have what, the two games in a matter of 7 days. 6 days, something like that.
Yeah, because they play on Monday night. Yeah.
Yeah. So you probably, with a guy coming off injury, you know, unless that guy's been out like several weeks, like, you know, Thibodeau and Ogilary, you're probably not going to rush a guy back and say, okay, we're going to, you know, put him on the field again 6 days later. Just my guess here. So, you know, we'll see. But I think week four for him and Aaron Robinson, which is what I said at the beginning.
I hope so.
Ryan H. says, is Nick Gates coming back? I know he wants to.
Yeah.
Will it be this year? I, you know,
I'm not going to bank on it.
I'm not banking on it either. I think, you know, it's interesting. Gates is in an interesting situation. This is the last year of his contract. The Giants, I think we can all agree, need to draft a center or get a center, a true center.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Feliciano is the long-term answer. Do you put Gates back there, who is better at guard? Mm-hmm. Or do you just say, okay, you know what? If Shane Lemieux isn't going to be our answer at left guard, do we put him there? Do you maybe save Gates and have him be your jumbo tight end and eventually place Lewinsky at right guard? What do you do with him? Where does he fit?
I think obviously it starts with his recovery. You know, we got to see if he recovers and he's near the same player he was before the injury. So that's the biggest thing. This is a very serious injury. I mean, I he had like 7 leg surgeries or something, right? So it was a very serious injury. So hopefully he's himself. But if he is, and I have no doubts he's going to give it his all. I mean, I love him. Sure. I have no doubts he's going to give it his all. I don't know if he becomes a starter or not. I think you at least bring him back and he could provide his depth and maybe potentially be a starter. If I was
like Richie Seibert was.
Yeah. Yeah. And if I was going to put him, I'd say got one of the guards. I think, like you said, I think you draft the center and I think his natural position is the guard. And it would only be because I think Galinsky's going to play next year. I think he's coming back for another year based off the contract.
Yeah, on the contract.
Mm-hmm. It would have to be if you didn't draft a guard in the draft relatively early. And two, if Azudu didn't further develop, because if Azudu further develops,
He's your left guard.
It's not going to be Nick Gates.
And it's not going to be Shane Lemieux either.
Yeah. So I think it comes down to that. Don't forget McKeithen too. He got hurt. So
yeah.
Gates is going to have competition to even make this team next year, if we're being honest with ourselves. I know we love him and he's a fan favorite. I love him to death. And I hope he does. I think he definitely has value because he could play all three positions on the line. He could play tackle, he could play guard, and he could play center. So I definitely could see him getting a chance to come back with the Giants. I don't necessarily think he's going to be starting, though.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like Richie Seibert's career path.
Yeah.
Richie came back from that devastating injury. I think he started off as the jumbo tight end, and then he just waited until there was an opening on the offensive line, and then he stepped in. So I think that's what we might see when it comes to Nick Gates, assuming, of course, you know, he's healthy, which fingers crossed he is, because he's been working his butt off. I mean, I don't normally root for players, but I'm
rooting for him. How could you not root for him? You have to root for him.
You have to. How can you not?
I love him.
All right. Amazing guy says, do you think DJ will be back for sure if they make the playoffs? I don't know. Do they make the playoffs because the defense carries them and the offense is I think that remains to be seen. Don't you?
Yeah, I think it remains to be seen. Obviously, the probability of him coming back if it goes up if they make the playoffs. But I'm not going to say for certain, no, because I don't know what Joe Shane feels about this draft class at the quarterback spot. I don't know. He may really like a quarterback that's going to go 20th. You know, we don't know. We don't know what he feels about the prospects in this upcoming draft class. So it's impossible for me to say. The only way Jones guarantees he's back, he's got to play out of his mind.
Yeah.
He's got to play out of his mind. But obviously, the probability of him coming back goes up in a huge way if the Giants win 10 games this year and make the playoffs. And I would say there's a higher probability than not he is back if they win 10 games and make the playoffs. Because I think he's going to have to play pretty well for us to win 10 games and make the playoffs. Though we're up to a 2-0 start. So I would say there's at least a 65-70% chance, if I had to guess, that he's back on a 1-year commitment, not like a 5-year extension. But if they win 10 games, make the playoffs, I would assume that he's coming back.
Franchise him though on a 1-year commitment?
No, we've talked about this. Yeah. I think it's more along the lines of, like you said on Twitter today, the Carr contract. Maybe not identical to that, but of that of that based variety. On
that structure. Yeah.
Yeah, because you now have the opportunity to move about the money. You don't have to create $32 million to next year's cap, and you could still get rid of him for not that big of a dead cap if he doesn't take an even bigger step up the following year. So I think Jones could definitely play himself back onto this team next year. I think there is a potential for that, but he needs to get much better. So far, he's been a C to a C-plus quarterback. He needs to be like a B quarterback, and the Giants have to win like 9 or 10 games, I think, for him to be back. But I don't think we're going to win 9 or 10 games unless he becomes a B quarterback. I know we're 2-0, but we got some tough teams on our schedule. We're not going to be able to keep winning by our defense and our running back. You can't continue to expect the defense to get off the field 80% of the time on third down. It's not sustainable. So
yeah,
Jones is going to have to improve this year if this team's going to win 10 games.
For sure. All right, Joel Vargas, how many snaps do you think Golladay gets since Tony is out? Okay, first off, Joel, Tony hasn't been officially declared out. So, I mean, that's how it's trending for what it's worth. But, you know, he hasn't been officially declared out. As far as snaps for Golladay, that's hard to say because, you know, the game plan is it changes every week. So I can't sit here and say, oh, Golladay's going to get 60% of the snaps. I don't know that. It's going to depend on, you know, how does the game flow? And I think that dictates some of the snap counts. You know, let's say, for example, they're behind and they have to pass like crazy. Then the receiver snaps are going to go up, obviously, or the targets. If they need to run out the clock at the end, you're going to see the running back snaps go up. So it really depends on how the game flows. It's hard to put a number on it. Do I think he's going to see more snaps than he did last week too? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be, you know, 80% of the offensive snaps? I can't say that for sure.
We have no idea.
I don't know.
We have no idea.
We have no idea.
No idea. It's your guess is as good as ours. We don't. Maybe Galladay's not the same receiver too. You know.
Yes.
Got to remember these guys didn't bring him in. He was coming up a hip surgery when the Giants brought him in. They may be viewing him in practice and being like, Sills gives us a better chance to win. He may be running better routes. They may feel like he. As crazy as that may sound to some people, it sounds crazy to me. Based off the money that we gave Golladay, so we'll see. I hope he gets a bigger role.
If I can just shed some light on that. And by the way, Jordan, thank you for that reminder. Yes, please like and subscribe the channel. That would be very much appreciated. With regards to the receiver, this is what it boils down to. And you know, I'm not telling you anything that Dable hasn't already said, but the guys that are playing are the guys that are mastering what they need to master in the classroom and then transferring it out on the field. So the coaches are like, okay, we know Richie James knows what he's doing. We don't have to worry about him. We can put him out there and he's going to be fine.
He's dependable.
Right. It's dependability. And Dable has said, I don't care what kind of contract you got. I don't care where you were drafted. You got to be dependable. And if you're not dependable, you're not going out there. You know, for years, folks, we screamed, you know, when I say we, I'm talking the fan base and the media to an extent. We screamed about players that were put on scholarship. We screamed about that. Well, now Dable has gotten rid of that. You know, that scholarship system has gone away.
He doesn't care. He's going to play the guy who gives him the best chance.
So, and now we've got some people saying, well, why isn't Golladay playing? Why isn't Tony playing?
I mean, let's be fair.
Come on.
People are going crazy about Ximenez in the preseason, too.
Yep.
They said, how did Ximenez – I mean, Twitter was going crazy with that.
Yep.
For a back roster guy between Quincy Roche and Ximenez – and Ximenez looks damn good. So maybe based off seeing that, you should say to yourself, well, maybe these guys know what they're doing. Let's give the coaching chance, the coaching staff an opportunity to see the players out there that they feel give them the best opportunity to win on a weekly basis. And, you know, you think about it, dependability is a very important thing, especially for Jones, being that he's in a new offense, being that the offensive line isn't giving him a whole hell of a lot of time to throw the football. You better be running the right routes. You better be running them in a timely manner, and you better know the playbook front to back. So Dable may be looking at it like that and say, I don't like what I see with Golladay in practice. At least Sills knows the offense. At least Sills knows where to be. He knows the routes like the back of his hand. And I think that is probably a lot to do with it. The fact that they've outworked him in the classroom, they know the scheme better.
Bingo. That's it right there. You hit the nail right on the head.
Yeah.
And by the way, on Ximenez, I actually went up to him because I was one of the people that didn't think he was going to make this roster. So after the games last week, I went up to him and I said, look, I owe you an apology and I owe you props. I owned up to it. And, you know, he was very gracious about it and everything like that. Because, you know, I liked him, in the, you know, when he was a rookie, I thought he had potential. And then, you know, you saw some of the stuff that he did that kind of made you wonder if he was ever going to develop. So kudos to him.
He was great. I mean, listen, he was the first guy I gave props to last week. He's earned it. People were running him out of town. Rightfully so. The guy was not producing his first 3 years as a New York Giant overall. So I was glad, you know, he got that opportunity. He came up in a big way. And you could argue he's been our most valuable player on defense so far. I mean, the fact the guys he stepped in for, he's done a tremendous job. I would probably lean more towards Leonard Williams or Adoree Jackson. But Oshane Zimmon has done a hell of a job so far. You know, when given the opportunity by the Giants, and I think he's going to be third in the pecking order, even with two healthy edge rushers. I think he's going to be out. He's still going to be out there at times. He's played well.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Got to run one more quick commercial. This is a short one, and then we'll be right back. We'll continue our discussion and answering your questions. Hey, Giant fans, BetOnline is the only place that offers the best information on the latest odds, contests, and player props for all your sports betting needs. No matter what sport you're into, BetOnline has you covered. Plus, they offer everything you need to know for live betting and your favorite Vegas casino games. Head on over to BetOnline today to learn more about the trends in the action. BetOnline, where the games start.
Great job.
All right. All right, everybody, welcome back. Appreciate your patience while we do the commercials and appreciate your support of our sponsors, because without our sponsors, there's no Locked On, there's no Pat, there's no Tana. Well, there is a Tana, but you know, I guess there's no Tana
here. No Tana here. If this doesn't exist, I can't be here. So,
yes, that's true. That's true. So, but you have your own channel. So, I mean, you're doing well. I'm a busy man. My gosh, how many podcasts have you done?
I work with Mike, Too Nice. I've been doing that now for 2.5-3 years, where I do a week during in season. I do a weekly show with him. I work with Bad Dog. We do a weekly show together. We've been doing that for 5 years. Mm-hmm. Now I do the weekly show with you. I try to do a weekly show once a week when I can. Where I get like a random Giants podcast that I don't work with often, and I try to give them some exposure. And yesterday was great. I had a great conversation with Big Blue Banter, and you know Nick, he's been on
the channel before. Nick's a sweetheart. I love Nick.
Dynamite, really nice guy. Really knows his stuff. Great with the film breakdown, and had an absolute blast. They got a great channel, a great podcast, I should say, over there.
Yeah. And Tommy G is got his thing going. Ultimately, we want to expand that. Tommy G has been doing stuff over on Giants Country. So those of you not familiar, I think it's Tommy G 105. Really good guy.
Maybe I'll get him on my channel soon.
Give him a plug. I mean, check his stuff out. He really works hard at it. You know, and he's so humble by the work he does. So do check him out if you get a chance over on Giants Country. All right. Nemar Sekhorn, do you think Galladay will get traded because he's not been performing well? Nobody's going to touch that contract, Nemar. That contract, trust me, when I say that contract is just a bear. It's so bad. You know,
there's no way.
You have to take on guaranteed money. You know, for a guy
unless Dave Gettleman gets rehired into the NFL somewhere else.
Yeah.
Then maybe we got a shot, but it's not happening. It's not happening. I mean, you gotta be realistic. It's not happening.
Let me just look up the contract real quick so I can give you some numbers as to how bad this thing really is. All right. So if the Giants were to trade him, this would be a post June 1st transaction. Theoretically speaking, it says, according to Over the Cap, it says that they would save 17.75 million. I don't think that's right because Galladay has Galladay has a 21.15 million cap number. His base salary is 13 million, and that is guaranteed. That is fully guaranteed? Actually, it says 3 million of the base is guaranteed. And then you've got the remainder of the signing bonus. So it's 3.4 million times 1, 2, 3, 4. So, you know, you multiply that times 3.4 million times 4.
It's like 14 yeah. million.
Yeah. And then he already has been paid out a roster bonus of 4.5 million. It's just not feasible. It makes no sense. A team would have to take on basically that entire.
Nobody's trading for Kenny.
Nobody's trading for him. Bottom line. You know, Shane, look, there's a reason why when Shane needed money, he stayed away from that contract. I think Shane would rather take money from his own pocket to give the Giants salary cap space. Not that he can do that, but I think he would rather do that than to touch that contract, because I think the handwriting's on the wall. Galladay will not be on this team next year. They'll have to, you know, it's going to hurt. But let me just see. If they make him a pre-June 1st cut next year, let me just see what he's due a roster bonus on March 19th.
Okay.
And he has a cap hit of $21.4 million in 2023. So if they cut him pre-June 1st, they save $6.7 million, but they have to eat $14.7
million. They're doing it. They're cutting him.
Okay, but if they make him a post-June 1st designation, according to Over the Cap, they save $13.5 million.
Isn't the way that works, though, and I could be wrong in this, because I remember talking about this in the past, and you know the cap better than me. Doesn't, like, we still have to eat. We still only saved 6.7 in the end. It's just that it gets spread out over 2 years.
That's correct.
So the following year, you're still taking a hit.
You're still taking a hit. So what would happen?
I'd rather just get it done with.
And that's what Shane's been doing, if you think about it. The cap is going to go up next year. So let's see. The cap space is projected because the TV money is going to kick in next year. So next year, the base cap is estimated at $225 million. This year it was 208.2.
Right.
So, you know, you're going to have some room. Now, for everybody, right now the Giants have, according to Over the Cap, $55.63 million in space. All right. Don't get excited, though, about that.
Let's play the game right now. Let's play the game right now. Let's save the 6.7 on Galladay. So now you're at 62, about.
Yeah.
Who else could we cut? Let's play the game.
Oh, okay. Let me look at the roster.
I'll pull up the cap right now.
I'm going to look at the roster. Let's take a look. Who else can they cut next year? Let's see.
I'm going to spot track. So I got 2023.
Shepard's going to – okay, he's not going to be back because he's got a voidable year. Could you maybe – you know, if they get fed up with Kadarius Toney, could you look to maybe move him?
Let me see the dead caps. 6.7 for Galladay. I think that's going to happen. Jackson saves you 9, but
I don't think they cut Jackson.
They're not cutting him. They're not cutting Dex. They're not cutting Andrew.
I don't see a whole lot they could cut at the top, you know, other than now I've seen some people say, well, what about cutting Leonard Williams? I wouldn't cut as long as Leonard's producing. Williams.
They backloaded his contract too. So I think that kind of assured that they're keeping him.
Yeah, Leonard's going to have a cap hit of $32.26 million, so an $18 million base and a 14.26 prorated bonus.
Oh,
yeah, I don't think they're going to cut Leonard Williams.
I think,
and as long as he's producing, why would you want to?
I think they're going to. They might think about extending him to spread that money out. Because
I would do that. I mean, that quite honestly, I'm surprised they didn't
going to Leonard next year, like. They may do that. They may give him like a 2-year extension and spread the money out.
Well, actually, he's got a voidable year. Remember, he's got a voidable year in 2024.
What a mess.
Yeah. this is the leftover effect of, you know, the previous regime.
Yeah, looking at it, like you
what
said,
there's not, the there's heck not much were else. They think? Everything they said they would never do, they did.
Yeah, it's a mess.
And I don't understand, you know. Basically, they tried to do what the Eagles tried to do back when they had the quote-unquote dream team. Yeah. Build a championship. Build a team that would be a playoff contender. It didn't work the last three times they did it. What the heck made them think it was going to work this time?
And the $62 million is nothing because...
Right.
First off, you're going to have to allocate, what, 10 to the draft, about?
At least 10.
We'll say 10. That's $52 million you got now. Mm-hmm. We talk about it all the time. We want to extend to Andrew Thomas. Now, I don't know how
that one
next year's cap, because it may still be on the rookie salary and an extension after that. I don't know.
What's that? If they
extend him, it may not affect next year's cap because they still.
Well, it depends. If he gets prorated signing bonus, it will affect the cap.
So there you go. So that you figure at least have some kind of effect that, you know, knock up another $5 or $6 million by that. And then you got, you know, you got the Daniel Jones decision. Who knows, right? Are we going to bring him back? Are we going to draft the quarterback?
Have to put a quarterback on a rookie contract if you really want to optimize the cap.
Of course. But
if it's 50-50 for Daniel Jones, if he's coming back, you draft a kid.
Yeah. Or if you don't love a kid, the other option is
you sign a veteran.
If you sign a veteran and you have Taylor be the backup and you get a guy like Garoppolo, something like that for a year and a year or two until you find your quarterback in the draft. So I think it'll come down to what Jones is willing to come back for. But we're not going to have a lot in terms of cap space. And then you got Barkley. If Barkley's a big year, could be back. So, you know, those are just some of the question marks we have. Julian Love's another one. He's played well. He's a free agent. So
that's cap space will be eaten up very quickly.
Really quick.
And right now, folks, it's just too soon to say, oh, you know, Jones is coming back or Jones isn't coming back. Barkley's not coming back. It's too soon. We got to get a little bit more into the season before we can say, yeah, this is probably how it's going to play out. I'm not making any forecasts right now.
Too early.
Too early. You can't. I mean, have I dabbled a little bit with contract structures and stuff like that? Yes, I've looked at it, but I'm not going to sit here and say that this is a definite or that's a definite. It just doesn't work that way. Tuto, thank you for that endorsement. Again, please like and subscribe to the channel. That would be appreciated. All right. Joel asks, do you think it is less likely or more likely that we will score over 20 points against Dallas? I don't see the Giants going on a score fast this week. I think it's going to be a defensive battle.
I could see 20, but not much more.
Not too much beyond that, though.
Yeah, I'm going to go under, though. I the over-under is 39.5. I think it's going under that. I think both teams are going to be under 20.
Yeah.
I see like a 17-13, 17-14 type game. I think it's going to be a very low scoring, grinded out football game. Now, you never know. I mean, you know, if the Giants force some turnovers or the Cowboys force some turnovers, the score could be much higher, right? So, you know, if you get a pick six or whatever. But I think it's going to be a grinded out football game. And the team that makes less mistakes is going to win. It's going to be a boring game from that standpoint. Don't expect to see huge plays, and I don't think the Giants are going to try to open up the offense. I think Dallas will play it close to the vest as well. Both teams are going to try to rely on their defense. So, yeah, I don't see the Giants. But if they do hit 20, I think it'll be about 20. I don't see them going much higher than that.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. It's going to be a defensive battle for sure. Yeah. Okay, Sidon Smith, two teams in white this Monday.
I doubt it. Is Dallas going to play in the white unis? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I could be wrong.
I know they traditionally like to wear white, which I think is their home jersey, but they like to wear it on the road. But if the Giants are going with a...
I got the information for you. Todd Archer reports the Cowboys will wear their navy jersey with silver pants in Monday night's game against the Giants. So that should answer that one.
Yeah, there's no way. Yeah,
I didn't think it would be two teams in white. That just wouldn't work.
Yeah, there's no way. I know they normally do wear the whites, but because the Giants are wearing the whiteout jerseys, they're not going to wear the whites.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. Here's a good one. Good coaching can bring out the best of a player. Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. Big time. This coaching staff, the schemes, stuff they've been able to do.
We were just talking about O'Shane Zimenez. He's looked better than he's ever looked. Mm-hmm. Julian Love has looked good. For sure. I mean, the defensive side specifically, there's been so many individuals that have looked better than they ever have through the first couple of weeks. And we've had a ton of injuries on that side of the ball. So Dexter Lawrence, even though he's been good, he may be looking better than he ever has the first couple of weeks. So it's Leonard Williams. They haven't had sacks, but they've looked great. They've gotten great interior pressure, and that's without the presence of Azeez Ojulari and Kayvon Thibodeaux on the outside. So, 100%. The defensive scheme in particular has been fantastic.
Mm-hmm. All right, here's an interesting one. Let's take a poll. Galladay, the worst contract ever. Worse than Nate Solder?
No, not the worst ever. But maybe means for the Giants, because I like Albert Haynes.
I'm talking. I should have clarified. Worse for the Giants.
Yeah. Worse for
Albert Haynesworth. Yeah, definitely worse.
Worse for the Giants. I'd have to think back. I mean, I know like.
Solder for sure.
Solder. You have the Jeff Schwartz contract. That wasn't very good. You got LeVar Arrington. That wasn't very good. It's up there though. Galladay is up there for sure. Galladay and Solder, both those contracts are up there. I would say Galladay's worse than Solder because Solder at least gave us like the second half of his first year was actually good. He gave us something. Galladay's given us nothing. So part of me thinks Galladay might be even worse than Solder so far. Yeah.
Well, you know, and that leads to this question. Why did Gettleman sign this guy? Well, remember at the time, the Giants, you know, they were looking for a skyscraper receiver for Daniel Jones. They figured, okay, Plaxico helped Eli. Maybe this guy Galladay can help Daniel Jones. Now, where they went wrong, in my opinion, and again, you know, hindsight is 20/20, as Joel Vargas said, Galladay was coming off of an injury. And everything that Gettleman had done the year prior about signing guys who were just about starting to peak, guys who were relatively clean injury history-wise, he threw all that out the window. It was almost like, you know, he was very selective in 2020 with his shopping. And then 2021, he said, the heck with it. I'm just going to grab whatever I can. It smacked of desperation, if you think about it.
That's exactly what it was. It was desperation. It was similar to Reese in 2016. It was desperation. It just worked out better with Reese because they made the playoffs that year. But they went out and spent like crazy that year in free agency too because Reese knew his job was on the line because they had just fired Tom Coughlin. It was the same thing last year. It was desperation. He knew it was year three of Daniel Jones. They needed to evaluate him. His legacy rests on the shoulder of Jones. He drafted him sixth overall, and he signed the best possible wide receiver he thought he could.
Right.
In free agency. Maybe Allen Robinson would have been that guy, never became available. So they went out, they got Galladay, who I actually thought fit Garrett's scheme relatively well. It just didn't work out. And like you said, coming off the surgery was a huge gamble. And he had a number of other really bad signings, but that was the worst. I could make sense of why they did it.
Right.
We needed a number one wide receiver, and he was arguably the best one available, but it was a horrible signing. It was a complete miss on Gettleman.
And that contract, oof.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So Neymar Sickhorn, do you think we can suspend Galladay? On what grounds?
No, he can't.
What are you going to suspend him on?
Unless he gives him a reason.
He has to give him a reason. You know, him getting up there and voicing that he should play regardless, that's not a reason to suspend the guy. He'd have to do something, break a team rule or something like that. You know, in order to earn himself a suspension. So no, he's not going to get suspended. I don't see it happening. All right, Davey had to check out. Davey, if you're still here, thanks for stopping in. We'll see you on Monday.
Hey, by the way, Cecil, he's making more than 13. I mean, I don't know what his contract is this year, but the average per year salary for Galladay is 18. It's 4 years, $72 million.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot.
They backloaded it, so it may only be 13 this year, but his average per year is 18.
Yeah. All right. Joel asks, if they drop Galladay, do they re-sign Shep? You never say never, but I kind of get the impression, you know, they're going to want to move on with Wandale and I think as of right now, Tony, but that remains to be seen. Tony's kind of the wild card here, I think. You know, they have a lot of slot guys here. So, you know, would I like to see Shep back? Absolutely. I love Shep and he's been Mr. Dependable for them, but you know, when he's been out there, obviously, you know, outside of the injuries, but I don't know. I get the impression that maybe they're going to move on from him.
I like Shep too, but you know, we said this in the last show. I think they drafted Wandale Robinson to replace him. And that's what I think is ultimately going to happen. I don't think Shep's in the long-term plans. Now, maybe he's willing to come back here for a really cheap deal, similar to what he did this year, but I doubt it. I don't think Shep will be back with the Giants. I think Wandale Robinson's going to get a more expanded role as the year progresses.
Yeah. All right. Papa Gusu says, you must have been a capologist. You know, considering that I sucked in math when I was a kid, Actually, the cap is not that hard to figure. You know, it's not hard. I see a lot of people say, oh, my God, I can't figure it out. It's really not difficult.
Just doing research.
You do some research. I mean, over the cap has made it, you know, very easy to figure out. But it also helps being able to go and look at the CBA and read the instructions, you know, and the guidelines for accounting and stuff like that. So I actually learned the cap way back when. I'm going back a couple of regimes now with the Giants. I had a member of the front office who worked with the cap who kind of sat down and taught me the basics. And then from there, I just read on it. And, you know, I took a course on the cap, asked a lot of questions, and I still don't know everything, but, you know, it's fun to sit there and kind of tinker with contracts. Cause a lot of times
I love doing it. That's something I really enjoy. I make a lot of videos on that in the off season is going over the cap and going over what you know, some of the avenues I think they could go down and how they could spend the money and what, you know, what they could do. It's, for me, it's fun. I know a lot of people probably find it boring, but I actually enjoy
it. You have to do it though.
Yeah. I enjoy I like making those videos.
Yeah. I mean, people always say, oh, the Giants just signed this guy. They should do this. They should do that. You got to have the money. And I know people say, oh, the cap, it's a figment of your imagination. You can always find the money. Well, they found the money last year, and that's why they're in the mess they are.
Yeah, you can find the money. You can always find the money for 1 year.
Yes.
And sometimes 2 or 3 years, because you look at what these other teams are doing. They're adding void years. But eventually, you pay the piper.
Absolutely.
You know, you look at – oh, my God. I was looking at that. Hold on. I'm going to pull this up for you right now, because I could actually share something on your stream. Look at this contract. And I'm happy as a Giants fan. I was looking at it today. You want to talk about backloading a contract? And I understand it because they were trying to compete to win a Super Bowl the last couple of years. Look at this contract. Hold on. Here we go. This is Dak Prescott. And let me get rid of this. Dak Prescott this year is 19.7 against the cap with $108 million dead cap hit. Next year it goes to 49 with an $89 million dead cap hit. So you're not moving anything. Then it goes to 52. And then he has a void year of 21.
Yeah.
That's a mess.
and Jerry just said, oh, I hope we have a quarterback contract. Come on, Jerry. Really?
So for everybody that says, oh, yeah, they could see, everybody finds ways to get on the, yeah, that's how they do it. They borrow, you know, they borrow to kill themselves, you know, a year or two later. So that's the only way these teams do it throughout the NFL. But his contract is a mess with the Cowboys.
Yep. Yep. That's why you got to be smart about it. All right, folks, we're going to go just a little while longer. I know a lot of you want to check out the Yankee game. I think it's, what time was the Yankee game getting started? Or did
Yankees
start?
They already started. We're Mets fans, so I'm going to tell you right now.
No, but I know Braves, some people want to see the Yankee game,
which is good.
Well, who's losing? The Braves.
Yeah. Okay. They're a game and a half behind the Mets. They're down 4-0 to the Phillies. Mets don't play till 10, but the Yankees right now. Let me take a quick gander. Where are they? I'm trying to find where they are. I think they started. Let me see.
Yeah, I think they started.
Yeah, they're up 4-1 in the sixth. Let me see if Judge 0-for-3 on home run.
Okay.
No home run.
So then by the time we get done here, that game might almost be done. So
yeah.
So it sounds like you're not missing anything as far as history goes.
Yeah.
But so I appreciate those of you who are in the live stream, by the way. You know, because some people are like, oh, the Yankee game is on. I want to see that. Well, that's why we record this, folks. So you can go back and you can always take a look at it. All right. A few more questions. Renato, is Julian Love going to be extended? If so, for how much and what time? Renato, I haven't worked out a number for him. Again, it's too early. I don't start doing that stuff until December. Right now, would I extend Julian Love? I'd have no problems doing so.
Yeah, I mean, I think Julian Love is, again, it depends on how much, but I think Julian Love is a really good fit for this defense. He was actually one of the first players I thought of.
Yeah.
When Wink came, we did draft Belton though.
Mm-hmm.
But we've seen Wink likes to run a lot of multiple safety looks. So sure. I could see Love back here.
I could too.
For the right contract.
Right.
We're not breaking the bank for him.
He's not going to get a huge, gross contract, you know. I think they can get him reasonably.
Yeah, if they could get him back here on a good contract, I see no reason not to bring him back. He's versatile. You can move him around. And he played really well last week. So I'd like Julian Love back under the right circumstances.
Sure, I would too. But, you know, it comes down to money. And if a guy overprices himself, you know, I don't think Shane
was replaceable at the end of the day. As much as I like him, you could find another safety in the draft in the second or third round that can replace Julian Love. So you're not going to go above and beyond for him in terms of the contract. But if it's reasonable, you bring him back.
Sure, sure. All right. Brandon Swan said, join late. Who's balling out against the Cowboys? Shepherd seems to have number one locked up. I don't know if I would say Shepherd has number one locked up. I mean, can we even say that there? Oops, can we even say that there's a number one
wide receiver?
I mean,
nope.
No, I don't think we could say that.
Week,
but
week to week, it's going to be different. You know, this well so far it's been Richie James. Actually, he's probably been the number one so far.
Yeah,
in terms of targets, I'd imagine. But we'll see this week. It's week to week for me. It might be Galladay. It might be Shepherd. It might be James. It might be Sills. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to use these receivers week to week. We got to let it.
Yeah.
I think we got to give this season a couple, you know, two or three more weeks
to develop trends.
To develop trends and get a real feel for this offense.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And let's see. Perry Mack, is there a secret playbook for Tony that they've stashed away? I don't know if it's, I would call it secret. Are there plays specific to him? Yes. Just like any other player, you know, on the offense, any other skill position player. But again, guys got to get on the field.
Yeah.
It's the bottom line. They can have all the creative plays they want. If he can't get on the field, then what's good is it?
Same thing with Wandell. Got to get on the field. And I think they have a plan for Wandell. Like they said, when they drafted him, I see everybody going crazy about Pickens. And listen, Pickens is good. Pickens is very talented. And a lot of Giants fans said we should have drafted him. He made a great catch last night for the Steelers. Let's at least give Wandell Robinson a year, see how he's used in this offense. But he's got to get out there. But I'm excited to see him out there. I'm excited to see Tony out there. But you got to play. You got to be out there. It's unfortunate that so far throughout his career, Tony's had injury problems. And need him to get healthy. We need him. We need him. If we're going to improve this year as an offense, we need him.
Absolutely. All right. We got a question from Jordan Zemitty. Is Dable as personal and authentic in person as he seems on TV? Yes. Good man. You know, what you don't see in on the videos that the Giants post on the website is the kibitzing that goes on after the pressers. You know, he comes walking into the field house. So he'll pat you on the back or, you know, give you a high five or, hey, how you doing? When I had COVID, he called me to see how I was. He said, hey, I heard you were sick. What's going on? He goes, how long do I have to keep you out? You know, just a quick call, but, you know, very upbeat and everything like that. And I was like, wow. In the middle of training camp, he took, you know, 5 minutes out of his schedule to call me. And I had mentioned also on the show that he made calls to a lot of the beat writers over the 4th of July weekend just to say, you know, have a happy, happy, healthy, safe 4th. Looking forward to working with you. Let me know what I can do to help you. So, yes, Dable thus far has been wonderful to work with. He hasn't come across as a jerk. I think he tells you what he can, but he's not going to tell you certain things, and which is fine. I mean, obviously people are going to ask questions, but you can't expect the coach to tell you everything.
Yeah, and I love so far. I mean, again, I don't want to go too crazy with Dable, but so far I've liked a lot of what I've seen. And you know what I really like? This coaching staff as a whole, they're making it a real concerted effort to get the fans involved. A real concerted effort to get the fans involved.
That's what they did up in Buffalo. They brought that down from Buffalo.
Yeah. Which,
you know, Bills Mafia.
You love to see.
Yes. And it's important because think about it. The fans not only buy the tickets and the merchandise and all that stuff, they deserve a good product. And, you know, that's why when the prior staffs used to say, oh, we're making progress. I'm like, nobody wants to hear that because this fan base has sat through 10 years of crappy football. So nobody wants to hear you're making progress. Show us, you know. So, but yeah, Dable and Shane, both, you know, so far so good. And we'll just see, you know, sometimes, you know, we thought the same thing about McAdoo and then success kind of ruined him.
Yeah.
We thought Joe Judge was going to be okay. And we know how that turned out. Let's see. This team hasn't really hit, you know, serious adversity yet.
It's going to happen.
Let's see how they respond. It's going to happen. How do they respond? That's going to be your test. And that's going to tell you if this regime has staying power, so to speak.
So, yeah, I mean, listen, right now as fans, we're going to we're going to be probably a little more, definitely a little more optimistic than we should be. Like, it's only been two games, but he's a new guy. You're excited. You want him to do well. We're prepping him up. Dable is going to, there's going to come a point where Dable, he's going to hit adversity, like you said, and trust me, they will turn on you in a New York minute. So, we'll see how Dable handles it. I do think so far, I like his vibe. He comes across as authentic. He doesn't come across as a guy that's like pre-rehearsed in his press conferences. He seems
doesn't
like,
sound like a car commercial.
He's very comfortable in his own skin. So I'm pretty confident that he's going to be successful here. And I do think he's going to get a real opportunity, being that him and Shane are paired together. So I don't think he's getting run out of town after 2 years like the two previous head coaches.
Right.
So we'll see. But I'm going to give him a fair opportunity. And so far, so good. I mean, the adjustments they've made at halftime has been great.
Absolutely. A1 since day one. Without Leonardo playing, is our pass defense almost being the worst? Do we have a chance? You're getting Thibodeau and Ojulari back in all likelihood. So I wouldn't say that exactly. I mean, obviously we got to see what the kids bring and how Wink is going to deploy them. But I don't think it's the end of the world if Leonard Williams doesn't play.
It's not good.
No, it's not good, but it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, let's not act like it's good, but it's not good. But yeah, they could overcome it. They overcame it last week. I mean, he didn't play for the last quarter and a half, I think, last week. And the defensive line was still able to get the job done. And
yeah, they forced three punts. Or I think it was three punts, 2-3 and outs. And I think they just scored one field goal. So they did overcome it.
Yeah, they did overcome it. I don't think it's something that they could overcome probably for like 8 weeks. But I do think it's something that Wink could come up with a good game plan, especially for a limited offense, which is what Dallas is, if we're being honest, now.
Yeah.
With Rush at quarterback and a backup left tackle. Like, yeah, they're not the Dallas of old. Let's put it that way, even with Gallup back. So I think they could find a way to push through it this week. I think they could even get by for another week because Chicago's not good.
Yeah.
After that, you're going to need Leo.
You're going to need Leo. Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see how they do this week. But Leo not in there definitely hurts. I mean, you could argue he's our best player on defense.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but, you know, these things are going to happen. But, like I said, you're getting Thibodeau and you're getting Ojulari back in all likelihood. So not the end of the world. McKenzie Bruno, how many sacks will our defense have? You know what, McKenzie, I don't like predicting how many sacks, receptions, all that stuff. That's too hard to do because you don't know how the game is going to flow. I mean, what do you think, Chris? Do you want to?
We're not going to have a lot of sacks. That's my prediction. I'm going to say we get like two because
I think it's too hard to predict.
It is very hard to predict, but I don't see this being a game where Dallas is going to look to throw a lot.
I agree.
I don't think Dallas is going to be put in a position by us where they're down by multiple scores, where they have to throw. And if the game is close and competitive with a backup left tackle, with an offense that wants to blitz as much as Wink does, as aggressive as we are with our pass rushers back, with Cooper Rush in there, they're going to throw. Don't get it twisted. But I don't think there's going to be a team that's going to go back there and sling the rock 35 or 40 times. So I think it's going to be for just opportunities alone. I don't see a lot of sacks. I don't think maybe two, maybe three, but I don't think we're going to have a ton of sacks in this game.
Yeah. I think they're going to put it on the shoulders of Zeke and Pollard.
Yeah.
Those are the guys that
and when they do throw, I think it'll be a lot of quick passes, getting the ball out quick against the blitz.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Perry Mack says, do you see a difference in the building? Oh yeah. Oh yes. From how they redid the hallway in the football wing of the building, which is pretty cool, by the way. You know, I took a picture of it.
What happened now in the wing of the building?
They redecorated it. It's really cool the way they did it. Now, I don't know if they did it this year, or, you know, because keep in mind, we weren't allowed in the building for a couple of years. But, you know, just seeing it, I took pictures of it, and then they told me I couldn't publish them on Twitter. I don't know why, because it's really cool, but I can describe what they did. They have maps of like the boroughs of New York City and New Jersey, and they have like history and, you know, like a little bit of history designed to help the players learn about the history of the area. And then they have historical, like, scenes from great giant moments. They have videos playing throughout. It's really cool. It's an emphasis on the history of the area and of, you know, the team, you know, because, you know, a lot of times you talk to players, these young players, and you say, oh, do you know so-and-so? Like, for example, I interviewed Cam Brown for a story I'm doing. And I said to him, do you know Chase Blackburn? And he didn't know who Chase Blackburn was. And I said, oh, my God. Because, you know, I'm thinking Cam Brown reminds me a lot of Chase Blackburn.
Yeah.
And I had to tell him about the history.
To be fair, outside of the Super Bowl, because he obviously made one of the biggest plays in that game. Right. If you didn't grow up a Giants fan, you're not going to know who Chase Blackburn is.
No, I know that. But the point being is, you know, you come into the building.
You gain history.
A lot of these guys, they look at the ring in the locker room where you have some of the great Giant names, and you point out the names to them and you say, oh, do you know the significance behind this guy? They don't know. Yeah. And it's like, you know, maybe it's a generation thing, but if I work for an employer and I didn't know the history of it, I'd be like, I would feel like I couldn't really give what I needed to give, because I think it's important. And the coaches, they do things to kind of, you know, bring that history out. So, but I think, you know, what Perry's actually asking is the vibe, you know, the feeling around the building, you know, are people upbeat and whatnot. Perry, they're not walking on eggshells like they were last year. It was very clear they were walking on eggshells. Everybody's kind of loose, laid back, but not to the point where, oh my God, you know, everybody's partying and, you know, nobody's taking work seriously. They know they've got stuff to get done, that there's a lot of work to be done. But, you know, sometimes you could be too high strung. And then there were times when you need somebody who rolls with the flow, so to speak. And that's, I think, how you could classify Dable. He rolls with the flow. And, you know, if something pops up, you deal with it. You don't go looking for trouble. You don't go looking for situations. You just deal with what pops up and you go from there.
Yeah. And I think on the defensive side, they're foaming at the mouth. Like Wink is, like, they've both, like, assumed their coaches. Right. So, like, I love what this coaching staff has brought to this football team and the fan base. And like you said, we're going with the flow with Dable. And I went into this year just free. That's the way I look at it this year. Is obviously on game day, I want them to win every single week, but I'm just looking at this team to get better over the course of the year. I'm taking the same approach. I haven't really upped my expectations because I'm not trying to set sky high expectations where, you know, fans may go crazy if this team doesn't win 9 or 10 games after getting off to a 2-0 start. I realize this is still early in the process. Do I think it's more possible we can make the playoffs now? Yeah, but we still have a lot more building to do, and I'm going to enjoy the process as a fan. I think it's going to take a couple more years to really get this team to where we want it to be, but it's off to a really promising start, and I think the fans are excited about it, as they should be.
Sure.
And I think it's only going to be a more and more exciting product as the year progresses, because they will open up this offense, I promise you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It just might not be till week 6, week 7, once they get healthy. The line gets a little better. They're going to open up this offense. I promise you that.
Which, you know, by the way, those of you who watch the day after show that I do with David Turner, that's something he's been saying. We won't really know what this team is until about 4, 5, 6 weeks into the season. So it's coming, guys. We'll find out about it and we'll see how we're feeling, you know, in another month or so. But so far, so good.
So far, great.
So far, so great. Yes. All right. We're going to take a couple more. Then I got to jump because I got to get tomorrow's content ready, because I actually have tomorrow off. The Giants are back at practice, but I have tomorrow off. Rare day
off. Good for you. Good for you.
Well, I get no days off next week, so I had to pick a day off. So I'm going to do something fun for a change.
You're not going to London, are you? You're not going to London, right?
Right now, that is not in the plans. I have not been told that I'm going to London, but you know what? I'm not going to lose sleep if I don't. I've been to London twice.
Yeah.
I love London. Don't get me wrong. I don't like the fact that, you know, there's no bye week after that. If we were going, I would have liked the bye week.
Right.
I probably would have pushed a little harder for it because I would have liked to have maybe taken a trip down to France or something like that. But to go over there, cover a game, come back, you don't really get to see the city. Nah.
Yeah.
I've been there. So it's not like, you know, I could say, oh, I've never been to London. I've been twice. So, all right, let's take a couple more questions. Tyron Bauman Do you see us trading draft picks for starting quarterback next season? I asked because the odds of us drafting a quarterback in 23 is slim to none if this season goes well. You know what, Tyrone? It's going to depend on where the Giants end up drafting. But that being said, could I see an Eli Manning type of trade like what the Giants did in 2004? Yeah.
Depends where we're picking.
Right. It depends on where they're picking. Yeah. You know, if they're picking in the top 15, yeah, I think somebody's within striking distance. But, you know, you also got to look at who are going to be the other teams that need quarterbacks ahead of them. So there's a lot of uncertainty, but unless the Giants lose the rest of their games for the season, I don't think they're going to be picking number one. I don't think they're going to be picking in the top five. I hope they're not at any rate. And I say that for somebody who has gotten used to them picking high and being done early with the draft. But yeah, it depends. But I do think that if they're going to want a quarterback, they're probably going to have to trade up. They're going to have to engineer kind of like an Eli Manning type of trade.
And looking at around the league to answer his question in terms of a quarterback they could trade for, like a veteran is what I'm assuming he's referring to. Miami, there's nobody. They're not trading Tua. Buffalo, there's nobody. The Jets, there's nobody. Patriots, nobody. Browns, they're not trading Watson. Baltimore, I still think, is keeping Lamar Jackson as much as people want to say that they are. Trubisky's not an upgrade with the Steelers. And obviously, they're not trading Kenny Pickett. Joe Burrow's not going anywhere. Trevor Lawrence not going anywhere. Houston, Davis Mills, is he really a big upgrade? Like, I don't think he is. The Colts, no. Matt Ryan's really old at this point. The Titans, Tannehill?
Maybe. 50-50?
Maybe. They got
it depends on how they do this year.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. It's not somebody that I'm going to be super excited about, but he could be a stopgap guy. Chiefs, no. Chargers, no. Broncos, no. Raiders, maybe. Carr, if the Raiders really disappoint this year, that's a possibility, perhaps.
Seattle, I think, yes.
Seattle, well, they don't really have anybody. Who are you trading for in Seattle? Geno Smith?
Oh, for trading? No.
Yeah. Arizona, no. Rams, no. Niners, no. I don't think. Garoppolo will be a free agent. He could be a potential target via free agency. Atlanta, no. Carolina, no. Saints, maybe Winston becomes available via free agency if they want to go that route. Like, there's a handful, but there's nobody that's like, I would say the best possible option, and people make fun of him, would probably be Garoppolo as a potential free agent acquisition. He's not good.
Don't rule out Tyrod Taylor. That's why they signed Tyrod Taylor to that contract. They think he can be a starter.
Yeah.
So, you know.
He might be. I mean, maybe you do something. Listen, we'll see. We'll see at the end of the year. It's all speculation at this point, but maybe it'll be Taylor and another guy that they bring in that they kind of compete for the job for a year, and they kind of like Seattle's doing with Geno Smith and Drew Lock, something like that. Right. We don't know. We'll find out at the end of the year.
Right. All right. Let's take one more question, and then I got to jump, as I'm sure you do. Papa Guzzo, can you see Dable calling offensive plays this year? And that, I know where that question is coming from. David Turner on the Monday show thought that maybe, you know, to help the Giants get off to a faster start on offense, maybe Dable needs to kind of step back and help Kafka with calling the plays. I don't think so. I don't think that Dable is going to call the offensive plays. I know Shane expressed a desire not to have him do it. I don't know that Dable at this point wants to do it. I think it would be kind of detrimental if he went to Kafka and said, hey, I'm calling the plays now, you take a seat. I think that would be deflating. They're too far in now to where I could see that being the case. I mean, Kafka would have to absolutely stink up the joint for that to happen, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I'd be very surprised if that happens. I think they have faith in Kafka. I think they're smart enough to realize that this offense wasn't going to just click right away. So I don't see that happening. I think Kafka will call the plays. Maybe Dable gets a little bit more involved if the offense is really struggling midway through the season. But I think it's Kafka's show this year in terms of being the play caller. But they may make some adjustments in terms of game planning if the offense struggles. Right. You know, maybe Dable gets more involved. But I think Kafka will keep that title this year.
Yeah. And like we've talked about before, you know, Kafka didn't leave Andy Reid to come over here to be a token.
He had the easiest job in the NFL.
Yep.
You're literally the quarterback coach for Pat Mahomes with Andy Reid as your head coach. Like,
yep.
You don't get easier than that. He had the cushiest job in the league.
Yep.
He's not leaving that job unless he's going to have added responsibility.
Exactly. Exactly. So, all right, folks, that's going to do it for us because I've got to go and I've got to get stuff ready for Giants Country tomorrow. But as always, if you didn't get your question answered, save it or send it to me for Twitter Tuesday. Now, we're not going to do a Twitter Tuesday this week because Tuesday I'm going to have David Turner on the show. Monday, just real quick, I'm going to have Jeff Kavanaugh on the show. That show's already been taped and it's preloaded and ready to go. Tuesday, we're going to have David Turner. Wednesday, I may try to do the mailbag on Wednesday. Then Thursday's a crossover show. Friday, Tana hopefully is back with me for another live show.
Yeah.
I mean, these have been awesome. I hope you guys have been enjoying it. Hopefully by then Aaron Judge will have his record.
I think he'll have it by then.
I think he will.
If he doesn't have it by then, he might not get it. So
yeah. Oh my gosh. That would be,
there's only like 10 games left. So
that would be really disappointing. So anyway, folks, yeah. Send those questions in if they didn't get answered. Make sure you check out Chris's channel. Make sure you check out Giants Country. We've got plenty of stuff. As well as we'll be, you know, on site. We'll be covering the game live, post game, all that stuff. So until Monday, have a great weekend. If you're going to be watching football or whatever, enjoy the games. And we'll talk to you next week, everybody.
Have a good night.